the ground. The National Press Club is just two blocks from Metro Center, and there are two dozen hotels nearby. The event website, x-conference.com, that's x-conference.com, or call the Paradigm Research Group, 202-215-8344, that's 202-215-8344.
Good evening, and welcome to this week's worldwide broadcast of The Joyner Report. Now here's your host, Angela Joyner.
to where you sort of grew up thinking these odd things were normal. And let me tell you, folks, I got to tell you, on Deb's Skype, her little window there where you can say something so everybody can see, it says, normal is just a setting on your dryer. I love that.
That's my life.
Because you didn't realize that things were going on were not exactly what other families experienced, right?
Right. I mean, I grew up with this all around me, and, you know, I just assumed everybody did. It's like the kid, you know, that never had a TV and didn't miss it. You don't miss what you never knew. I never knew that everybody else didn't have these weird things happen in their life and weird dreams. And I mean, my mother, okay, I guess my mom was partly to blame, if you want to put a blame on it. We used to play school, and like all mothers do with their kids when they're little preschoolers, you know, mom stayed at home when we were little. Anyway, her version of school was not your typical ABCs, but we played with cards, and like my mom would put four cards down, and then she would, and they'd be face down, and then she would have us try to guess which what shape was under each card. So, I mean, you know, it was like psychic school or something, and we didn't know any different. We thought everybody's mom played games like this. It was nothing to have. Our family used to get together like every Friday or Saturday, play. We played poker for a long time. Then we kind of started liking playing Yahtzee for money, you know, quarters and dollar bills was the big games. But it would be nothing to sit around and talk about, you know, who saw something strange or who had a weird dream. My older sister, Kathy, had the biggest UFO experience back in the 60s when she took my mother to a bingo and dropped her off one night and had actually a big, you know, part of her night missing time and described this UFO felt compelled to pull off the road and into a church parking lot, and then this UFO came up the and that some men were trying to get me and my mom, and she was stuffing me in the attic. And I mean, when you start telling kids in high school this kind of stuff and they look at you weird, you just stop talking and then you stop laughing because I became my sister.
Right.
So
now tell us about the big event where your dog became ill and you had the big circle in your yard and the date and how that happened.
That was the biggest turning point of my life, I think, that experience. It was June 30th, 1983. I will never forget that date. It's like burned in my head. I was living with my parents. I was a single mom with two little kids and had moved back home. Was getting ready to go out and do some sewing with a neighbor friend that was letting me help her. I was cutting out the patterns, and she'd give me a little extra money. She made costumes. and they were for dancers, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I was getting ready to go, and I went to the sink to wash my hands. I even remembered what we had for dinner that night. It was like KFC, all greasy chicken, you know?
Right.
And I looked out the window, and I happened to notice that the pump house to the swimming pool was open, and the light was on in there, and I knew that wasn't supposed to be that way because I was the last one that had been in there. And that something about it disturbed me, but I mentioned it, and I told my mom about it, and I asked her, I said, that's not right, and I said, do you want me to stay home? And she's like, no, go ahead. So I went ahead and left, but before I left the house, I mean, before I left the, you know, the property, I drove around the back to see if I could see anything in the backyard there, because you could drive along the side of the house and turn around and come back up. And when I did that, the pump house light was off and the door was shut. Well, that was even more disturbing, and yet I drove on, and I don't know why I didn't stop, but I went to Deanna's house, which was just the one road behind me, and I called my mom and told her. And then I asked her if she wanted me to come home again, and she's like, no, I'll just lock the doors. Your dad will be home. My dad was working second shift. And I hung up the phone, and as soon as I hung it up, it rang, and I picked it up instantly, you know, on instinct. And it was my mom, and she sounded very disturbed, and nothing ever flustered her. And she said, I need you to come home right now. And I'm like, okay, what's wrong, you know? And my girlfriend's husband heard the conversation, and Larry yelled out, hey, you know, call the police. That's what we pay him for. And my mom heard him, and she says, I don't want anybody here but you. I'm like, okay. So I got in the car. I went back home, took a couple minutes, went to the side of the yard, went in to the side door where my mom was in the, like, we called it the Florida room. And there was an unloaded shotgun next to the trash masher, which I picked up. And my mom made the comment that that's not loaded. And I'm like, well, whoever's out there don't know that.
Right.
I beat him to death with it. And look, and the weirdest part of all is I am the biggest weenie that ever lived. I mean, there's no way in my right mind I would ever even picked up that gun. I don't like him. But mm-hmm. I'd gone out there and walked around. Just that in and of itself was weird. But I did. And I don't know why I did, but I did. I went out back, walked around. I went to the pump house, didn't see anything around the pool. Went back farther behind the pool where my dad's workshop was. And I had noticed at some point that the pedestrian door to the garage that was attached to the house was open.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that was wrong because Penny was in there. We had been putting her in the, that's my dog, we were putting her in there because she was in heat. And so I knew she had to be out there in the yard somewhere, and I started calling for her. And I heard whimpering and scratching, and I found her under my dad's ladder truck. I couldn't get her out. I couldn't get her out from under there, and that was unusual. All this unusual stuff's not clicking in my head, you know?
Because usually your dog is all over you, right?
Yeah, she was my dog, my best friend. And every time she saw me, it was like, Mom. You know, it was like I was gone 100 years.
Uh-huh.
And she wouldn't come near me. She wouldn't come out from under that truck. I'm like, whatever. So I go back across the yard, and I head towards that open garage door. And I'm going in there like Kojak, sneaking in with my gun. And, you know, there was a couple of mattresses against the wall, leaned up against the wall. And I kind of went around the corner of one of them, like, yelling, you know, stupid things.
Yeah.
Some dumb, threatening stuff to whoever might be hearing it, you know. And all of a sudden, when I'm in there, I feel like I'm on fire. Something, I don't know what happened, I suddenly felt like I got to get out of here right now. And I felt like my skin was on fire. And I turned to run out the front, the open door. And when I did, it was like, bang. It was like I got, in my mind, I thought, oh, my God, I'm dead. And I, you know, it was, in retrospect, I thought it must be what it feels like to be hit by lightning in the chest. I mean, it started in
my goodness.
In my chest, my solar plexus, and just spread through my whole body like this burning vibrating feeling. It was like I could feel every molecule of that made up me vibrate, you know. And
right.
I couldn't move. I also couldn't see. I mean, it was just a bright flash. It was so intense. And I don't